This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of Deeper, Real Change for Real Sinners by Dane Ortlund. This book reminds us that we grow in Christ by going deeper into the gospel truths that first saved us. Drawing on wisdom for people in church history, Ortlund reminds readers to fix their eyes on Jesus in their battle against sin, living in light of his grace and their identity in him. Pick up Deeper wherever books are sold or visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with your Crossway Plus account. We are so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, Laura Whiffler here. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. This is episode 3 in our social media mini-series. If you've missed the first 2 episodes, be sure to head back and listen to those as we're kind of building on each one here. Today, we're going to be talking about content creation. But before we get to that, I just wanted to let you guys know that we have a huge landing page at risenmotherhood.com/social media that you can head to. And there you're going to find various articles that have been written on the Risen Motherhood site that you can read and get more information on. There's a roundup of all of the podcasts so that if you've missed anything, you'll be able to find it there. And there's also a spot for book recommendations that we have on this topic, and you can sign up for our social media Wake Up Workbook. Guys, you've heard us talk about this perhaps a little bit, but it is really a companion piece to help you take these a lot deeper because we recognize that we are probably raising more questions than we are answering as we walk through all of these things. Social media is such a new technology that it's really going to need all of us to take time to look at God's Word and consider how biblical principles apply to this topic. So it's something that it's designed that you can do with your friends, you can do with your husband, you could do with a group of women from your church. But I really highly encourage you guys to head over there and sign up to get the workbook. All you have to do is enter your email address. It's in the Risen Motherhood vault. You will find the workbook there along with all sorts of other great downloads. And so take a look around and see if there's something else that you might be looking for that might apply or a different podcast miniseries that you're going through. There are probably companion documents for you to download there as well. So I'm going to have my co-host Emily Jensen join me here, and let's get to the show.
So one thing Laura and I have noticed and have felt ourselves is that as moms, we always want to know that we are doing a good job. We want to know we're getting it right because we love our kids, but we also want to be seen as successful. I think sometimes that's because we already kind of feel successful and we want that validation and affirmation, or maybe we feel like we're failing and we're hoping that somebody else will affirm us. Like this is true in just like our regular real life community. And so it's interesting because when we go online and we're talking about social media, which is what we've been covering this whole series, that gets further magnified.
It's amplified, yeah.
Yes. Like, so when we are coming to create content and share, I think often it's because we want to know we are good. And whether that's in our home life content or our workout coaching business or our design portfolio or the fact that we have this encouraging biblical microblog content online, we want our followers and the people who are on social media to tell us that, yes, you're doing good. You're balancing life well. You're smart. You're funny. You're professional. You have it together. Kind of whatever identity we have online, like we want people to affirm that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to hear you talk about that, Emily, because if I'm honest, I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't really care. You know, like my first response is kind of like, I'll just do what I do. I'm doing my thing, you know, and even if you have a private account or you're like me and you say, I don't really care how it does. I just like want, especially my Laura Whiffler platform, yeah. I'm talking about Risen Motherhood. I want to say like, I look at that a little closer just to make sure we're meeting everyone's needs. But I think that this idea of, hey, it's just personal. It's not business. I don't care how it does. What you cannot deny is the fact that social media actually plays into the ways that God created us neurologically and that going back to our first show where we talk even about the dopamine hits that happen, is that our presence online and how it is received does matter to us, because it creates these feelings that you can't control, of pleasure, of happiness, of false joy. And even if we look at the way that God created us in Genesis to be known and loved and to know that,
to be declared very good.
That's exactly, to know ourselves deep within our soul that we matter and that somebody likes us. That's how we were created. And we see that with secular science through all the dopamine addiction research. And we also see that in God's word. And so we are going to talk today about being a content creator. Now, don't turn this off if you have a private account, because we are going to really try to talk about this from a seat of, no matter how you create content online, whether that's a Facebook account and you like to share funny memes, or a private Instagram account where you share pictures of your kids for grandparents, or you are somebody who has hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok and you are posting consistently and your monetary income is based off of what you do on that platform, at the end of the day, the question for all of us remains the same. Why are you creating that content, and what do you hope to get from it? And secondly, what or who are you turning to look for your deepest hope, worth, and identity? And what happens if you do not get the growth and attention you were seeking? How do you respond?
Ooh,
sorry, I feel intense right now, and I'm really sorry. I don't know why.
That's like a good deep pause for all of us right there to contemplate that. And just as a quick side note, like if you're wanting to contemplate that more and you realize, ooh, I need to really take time to think about these questions, we have a social media workbook that you can download to go along with this series and really kind of take a hard look prayerfully through scripture and saying, what is my heart motivation? And of course, none of us are going to have perfect heart motivations. And a lot of times what we're wanting, like Laura's saying, is rooted in good God-designed things, but just really evaluating, am I going to the Lord to get those first? I think one of the things that we've already mentioned that we can look for in social media when we're posting content is just, right, the affirmation, that feedback loop that says, yes, you're good. Yes, your kids are cute. Ooh, you did such a good job on that. Ooh, that was such a great hack that I didn't know before. Or, ooh, you're so great at business coaching. Whatever those things are, we're going to social media for that affirmation.
Well, and I think if you're sitting here still saying, no, that's not me, I think one thing, we're going to talk about it more in a whole show, which I'm excited for, but to think about just posting your kids. I have heard many people say this, and I even know for a lot of years when I had just like a private account where there is this idea of the algorithms rewarding posting our kids. And so even just a gut check is saying, hey, are you posting those pictures for your kids' benefit? No. I mean, I'm trying to think of like a way that it would be yes, or is that for yours? And it's okay to be really proud of your kids.
Yeah.
It is totally okay to be like, oh my goodness, I can't wait for the grandparents to see this. They're going to love this. All
and
the
you
aunts
know,
and uncles.
In the 80s, all of our parents had our pictures on their desks.
Yes.
They're like, look at this cute picture of my kid on Halloween.
Yes.
And then the seven others and the other friends. Like, parents have always been posting pictures of their kids.
Yes. And we just preen under people saying, what cute kids you have. And I think that that's okay. That's like a mother's pride that's given to us from God. I think it's the way he feels about us is, look at my beautiful children. And so I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm trying to proof point the fact that like we're posting these pictures and we probably are like, hey, aren't people liking these? My kids are cute. You know, like it's the old, like pulling out the wallet and like slapping down 25 photos. Like,
yeah.
You know, they like drop out of the wallet in that. Do you remember what
oh,
I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yeah.
That plastic thing?
Oh yeah.
Am I making this clear?
No, you're, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. Okay. That's clear. I get it.
You know,
I know.
And,
like, I know what
that's,
you're about.
That's the version of what we're doing on social. And we do that not for like, oh, because our kids are going to feel so good. Cause no, our kids have no clue. It's to really like say, I'm proud of my kids. I want to show you.
Sure. Yeah. And I love a good back to school picture comment session where like people haven't seen pictures of my kids in a while. And then they're like, oh, they're so tall.
Yeah, they're so
They're
big.
So handsome. Yeah. They're so, and you just, I mean, I just check back every 10 minutes to say what people are saying.
I know they're so cute. Yeah.
but I think what we want to note here in terms of our content creation and the things that we're posting to know, like, we all know this, but we need to hear it and remember it again. It's really God who we ultimately need to look to for that affirmation and that deep sense of being known and loved. You know, God knows us better than anyone else, and he sees not only our good, cute things that we post and our filtered photos and the cute selfie. Like, he sees us when we look like a hot mess and when our hearts are a hot mess, and he loves us anyway. And so I think we have to just stop and say, is that where I'm going? Is that the affirmation in which I'm putting the most stock and value?
Yeah. I think some questions that are kind of heart check questions is, are you posting things simply to get more likes and comments? You know, especially anybody who has more of an influencer platform or has, is making money on it. You know, are you guilty of virtue signaling in a way? And then I think that it's really, really important that we confess to God that we like likes, that we like comments, that we like affirmation, and that it has puffed us up. And it's something that I feel like people aren't willing to admit because you sound, I don't know, weak, or you sound like, oh, I need that, or I need that affirmation. But mm-hmm. in reality, it's like, again, it's human nature to say that this,
I like people looking at me and telling me I'm great.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like that? And so at the end of the day, I think that it's really important that we are honest with God about how things make us feel, and that you can admit that, especially again, if you have more of a creation influencer account, that you want content to perform well. And we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship in a little bit, but before we get there, let's talk about the humble brag.
Ooh, the humble brag. I think this is something we had a great conversation with a friend about a couple of years ago, and it was interesting to think about Proverbs 27:2, which says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. And the fact that that verse is talking about the fact that we really aren't the ones who should be tooting our own horn or putting ourselves in the seat of honor or just saying, ooh, look at me, look at me, look how good I am. And a lot of us would probably say, like, oh, I don't do that. Like, I wouldn't give myself a compliment in front of other people. But perhaps we're willing to reshare compliments about ourselves.
I definitely have.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest.
Laura's book is so amazing. I just love it. And then we're like, reshare. And I'm not picking on Laura because I've done that too. The Risen Motherhood account does it. I think we're not trying to say, hey, this is always right or this is always wrong. But just to say, let's ask the question, yeah, because we definitely all probably do humble brags. Like, oh, I just am so thankful to God that I'm on the bestseller list.
Oh my goodness. I see that all the time. All the time.
And we have to ask ourselves, like, does that fit into that Proverbs verse?
Yes. Well, the question I think we need to ask is, hey, are we doing this for God's glory or ours, right? Do we trust for God to reward us even in secret? Do we think that we need this to keep going, of people saying, wow, look at her, look at how amazing she is? And are we sort of saying, you know, look how much God has blessed me. Look how amazing I am.
Yes.
Or is there just a genuine heart to steward well what we have been given? And I do think within the content creation realm, it can be, I've said this already, but it's squishy. So I do think it comes down to, what is the heart behind it? Is it, you know, there are publishers, there are agents, there is a lot of, when you think about even a book, for example, my recent book, there are a lot of people that with real businesses behind that, and that I want to steward what opportunities I have been given well, and to make sure that not only do I fulfill the contracts that I'm a part of and the things that I've committed to, but also that, like, the gospel message gets out, because I wrote that book in a true desire to help people know more about God and His word and to teach their children. And so I think that there is an element there of saying, what does that look like to help raise awareness and market, but not land on the side of, like, look how amazing I am.
Sure. And I think there's a spectrum, is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this friend that we were talking to about, you know, humble brag and just different social media things in general, was saying that oftentimes as Christians, there are things that we can kind of all agree are gross and braggy.
Yeah.
Like, we can almost all tell it when we see it or know it when we see it. And then there are some people who would say, I will never, ever reshare. I will never, ever post a compliment. I will never, ever do that, because even to do it once to them is a brag. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff in between. And probably a lot of us are trying to navigate that in-between space. And so I think a really good question to ask as somebody who's creating content, again, whether this is something you're posting for friends and family to see, or this is something you're doing because you're a lifestyle, you know, blogger, that's an old term. What is a lifestyle? Grammar?
What would you be? You would be a lifestyle whatever.
Okay, so you're posting lifestyle content online regardless to say, does this content serve people in and of itself? And so we want to be sharing things that, even if it is kind of pointing to the success of our business or the success of our content or the fact that it's helping people, can you share things that have meat in and of that content, sure, or that reshare itself? I feel like I'm not being clear. It's clear
like,
in my head.
Does it point to a review of the book where people can understand like what the book is about?
Right.
Well, I know we're like picking on authors right now, but it's what we are. Or, you know, does it offer like, hey, this helped my child learn X, Y, and Z, or my child, is that what you
yes.
mean?
Yeah. Like it's not, it actually has some meat and some help. So essentially it's saying, hey, I want to be wise with a few things that I do post and make sure that I'm posting things that are the most helpful, the most informative, and I'm not just kind of mindlessly resharing, including braggy compliments about myself or my platform, but then I'm really saying, does each and everything that I post help people in some way?
Okay, and I'm going to push back on that a tiny bit.
Okay.
Because I'm going to, what about, at least I would see it a little bit as a ratio. Like,
okay,
what is the consistent content that you're putting out? And are there times where like, yeah, it is just a quick reshare of a really cute picture
mm-hmm.
of someone interacting, you know, it's like a beautiful flat lay or a bag spill. What are those called? Isn't the bag spill, isn't that a thing? I think it's called a bag spill. You know, where you see a bag and stuff's tumbling out of it and it's like really beautiful. I think that's the real name. Anyway, the point being, you know, it's this really beautiful picture. And I do think at some level there's like a, hey, what's the ratio of the content you're sharing? Like, again, there's no real number. But for me, I kind of think about it as like, hey, 80-20, 90-10. Like I want to really offer really, really thoughtful, like what you're saying, stuff that adds value to the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think that at some level, it's okay that like, just like we would share a cute picture of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you worked really hard on this content and there's like a great picture out there, at least that's where my conscience lies.
No, I think that's good. Cause I know this reminds me of another thing you and I have talked about before is that sometimes it like blesses that person or it's a way to share somebody else's platform.
Yes.
And then it can be a form of generosity and hopefully it's not a way to justify a brag, but it can't, there are other reasons why you might reshare something. And I think what we're saying here is this 1 John 4:7 principle, let us love one another for love is from God and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And this idea of like, our goal is to love others. Hopefully if we're doing any type of content creation online, again, whether it's pictures of our motherhood or pictures of something different, we are doing it from a place of wanting to love and serve. And that's going to motivate different behaviors than being there to, you know, gain love and grow.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes that means loving the individual.
Yes.
I know we have had that conversation. Okay. So another one is attention. So this can feel a little bit related, but I'll never forget the time where I saw a woman and I was just like in my Explore feed. So I don't even know who this is at all, but she was crying. And so I watched it and she said that she had hopped on Instagram Live to share with her community that she had just found out like 5 minutes ago that she had cancer. And she was verbally processing this through tears online. And it was heart-wrenching, my friends, heart-wrenching. And what was so sad is that she ended up saying, you're my community. You're the people I want to tell first. And so many of us, I think, are looking for that community online. And motherhood is really lonely. And social media can feel like a place that's going to fill that void. And we tell ourselves, well, this is my community. These people get me. I've curated the best community on the internet. And sometimes it can feel like this is the true one more than our in real life one. And I think that this is just an important thing to evaluate of how are we seeking attention online and like, why do we feel like we need to get it from online? Cause there's this other thing, this is like blowing my mind, but there is now, Emily, have you heard of this, that Munchausen by internet?
Oh,
I think I'm saying this right. Munchausen syndrome. So it's, you probably guys have all heard of that. It's a psychological illness when people, they fake an illness to get attention. So they fake being sick. So now they're doing this by internet where somebody starts to fake something online for social gain.
I have seen this.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it too. It's insane.
I saw it yesterday.
What? Tell me.
It was so disturbing.
Tell me it now.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, you're scrolling through like your reels or this is like on Explore page. And this like woman was saying, hey, I'm 50 and these are my two kids. And she does not look 50. She looks like 24. And the two girls behind her look like also 24. Okay. And I was like, kind of like, what is going on here? And of course, like, as I dug into her page, I think she really is in her 20s. And she just grows by doing these like TikToks that are fake, essentially.
What?
Because people like me, I fell for it, you guys. I got sucked in and I went and looked at her page because I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. And so it's just people outright lie. And I've noticed it more on TikTok. People literally lie about stuff so that you will come look at their TikTok page. And then you realize like, oh, that was just a fake video.
That's insane.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Well, there was that woman. There was a mom who she faked that kidnapping. Did you ever hear about that?
Stomach.
She faked a kidnapping about her two kids. This happened like early this year in 2021, I want to say. And her following went from 6,000 to almost 80K overnight. And there was a bunch of police investigations. It was determined that it was not true, that it was not real, but she truly accused real people. She accused a poor couple of trying to kidnap her children. And she like kind of got online live in right after it happened saying she wanted to raise awareness. But at the end of the day, it was like all a hoax. And so it just shows the extremes, I think, that humans will go to in order to get attention.
Mm-hmm. So I think bottom line for this is that God created us for community and for relationships. This desire that we have to be known and loved and have people that we can share things with is good. But ultimately, like, we want to be finding that in our real life. We want to be developing community through our local church. Perhaps it's just godly moms that you can get to know, friends that you can share ups and downs and struggles with, and just to be known in your real life, to know that you are known and loved by God. I think all of that takes the pressure off feeling like I have to be known and loved and paid attention to online.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you need to ask, am I creating this or am I posting this simply for the attention that it will bring? Okay, the next and last one I think we have is for the kingdom. So this one, it's actually a core value we have at Risen Motherhood. It's something that's really important to us that we see that kind of anything that's for the gospel is something that we want to encourage, even if that means we're not necessarily a part of it or a main factor in it. And so when we're online as creators, so again, any type of platform that's just you have the opportunity to create things, are you thinking of the ways that you can support other people to use social media for what it was sort of at least titled for, to be social? And so this, you know, think about Psalms and Proverbs talks about, Proverbs has a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Psalm 112:5, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely. So with both of these things, think through, hey, how can you share about a friend's new business? How can you engage in their content or cheer on what they've shared about their kids? Can you just comment about like, oh, it looks like they had a great game today or they're doing awesome. I know I love it when my in real life friends will comment on my pictures and just knowing that they know me and they see all of me, having them interact with me online actually means a lot. I even have a friend who has just, you know, not a private account, it's public, but it's very small. It's just friends and family. And she is so consistent about sharing things about Risen Motherhood, about what I'm doing professionally. And it loves me so much. And she doesn't do it with any expectation that I'm like groveling with thank yous. She just does it because she's sharing in my joy. And so what are some things that we can do when you're online, no matter your size, to say, hey, I've been given this platform, I've been entrusted this, and here are ways that I can love my sister as well.
Mm, that's a good word. That's one I need to learn from. Okay, so knowing all of these things that come into play when we're creating content, it's worth thinking again about boundaries. Like social media, as we've talked about all along the way, it's a tool. It can be helpful. It can be a way that we can spread the gospel. It can be a way we can grow our business. It can be a way we share with family about what our kids are doing. But it's really not a toy. It has some dangers. And so we have to be constantly learning how to use it well. So a few things to consider is, are you in a local church community? Do you have that real life in-person accountability or a friend who is watching the content you create online, but she's also, you know, having a meal with your family and she knows what you're like in real life? You know, have you talked to her and said, hey, if you ever see anything I post that doesn't seem consistent with who I really am, or, you know, there's anything that you're concerned about, feel free to talk to me. Another thing which I love from Well-Watered Women is the phrase word before the world. Like, are you, are we, we're preaching these things to ourselves, spending time in the word of God before we're posting. Do we have regular time with the Lord thinking about, you know, who he is, what the way he's designed the world to be, and who he wants us to be in Christ. Another thing you might consider is, hey, are you taking regular Sabbaths or rest from social media? So we talked about in our first episode that this may have something to do with breaking an addiction or breaking habits. But I think this can also look like, if you're a creator, depending again on what level you create, maybe there's certain days of the week that you don't post. Maybe you have your posts pre-scheduled and so they post for you so you don't have to be on your phone as much. Like, I'm just giving a few ideas here, but there are a lot of options for being able to create content online without having to be addicted and like in the engine of it 24/7. And then finally, just recognizing like, hey, do I need to just evaluate my content online? Man, I'm like going to try to not step on this soapbox, because something I think about a lot with content is, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Am I just doing it for fun? What do I hope to get out of this? How am I contributing online? And there could be some really easy answers to that, or there could be some hard, complex ones. And so I really think it's worth all of us stepping back and taking an inventory, because if our mission can drive our content, I think we would all be in a better place.
Yes. And Emily has thought so much about this. She helped us develop a social media engagement policy at Risen Motherhood. And I want to pause for a second and just talk about this, because we think that this is really helpful and important, and something that she and I stepped away from social media to put together. And she wrote, I tip my hat to her, she wrote the majority of it. But it lists 12 commitments that we have as a ministry of how we're going to create content and engage on social media. So this includes things like, hey, we're always going to be kind. You know, that sounds kind of childish, but it's actually important to keep in mind, especially if you listen to our last episode and see why that's there. We always want to engage in a peaceful way. We want to post in universal ways because we are a global ministry. And so we want to think about the big picture view, not just posting for individuals. We want to stay true to our statement of faith. We want to be faithful to communicate with our community in a way that aligns with our mission. So we've really, what we've done there is we've outlined, hey, this is what our promise to our community is. And if you haven't read that and you're engaging with us online, maybe check it out. I mean, and hopefully these things will match up. But these things, when we stepped away to write them, we did so with the thought that we want to do it when we're not under fire. We want to do it when we're not under pressure. And we want to have a clear head to be able to write down very thoughtfully how we want to react on social media, not in a crisis, but all the time. And then the other thing that we did was we outlined what our expectations are from our community. So again, if you are a creator, particularly if you are somebody who has a larger following, or you are interacting with people that you do not know, I highly recommend checking out our policy and perhaps considering doing this yourself as you step away to evaluate, like Emily said, where you can say, okay, with my community, here's what I hope that they offer me. And you can even advertise that to them. That's what we're advertising it to you, because we want you to know, hey, if you're in our community, we're happy you're here, but you know, here's a little etiquette for you. And then it also can outline how and why and when you might end up blocking somebody, or to delete their comments, or to remove them from email. So we even have set in place, again, when we're not in the fire and heat, we set aside a way to say, hey, here's how we're going to evaluate when somebody crosses the line and we have to take more drastic measures. And it has really served us well, because we've come against a lot of things since that policy was developed. And I can hear Emily's voice in my head, well, what does our policy say? Well, what would our policy say? And it's really good and helpful that we can go back to that. And then too, when we have to take more extreme measures, it's actually not like, well, just because I decided today, well, just today because I feel a little bit hurt by what you said. It's actually like, no, we can point to a document that offers a really clear outline of why we've made the decisions that we have.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. What do you have to add, Emily? She's like probably dying to talk.
Oh, I love this topic so much. I think just even for an individual, we can think of a lot of friends who have kind of personal manifestos, or like little one page documents, or things they've created for themselves, not even a ministry, but just documents they've created for themselves that help outline, here's the amount of time I'm planning to spend on social media. Am I going to answer DMs or not? How often do I answer DMs? What do I do if somebody says something uncomfortable to me? I know that can just be really helpful. I think one caution that I would give is just that we know historically, especially in evangelical Christianity, that just making a set of rules that we all kind of start to abide by these rules doesn't protect us from sin or from doing something wrongly. And sometimes we can be so gripped onto the formula that we miss the gospel or the heart behind the formula. And so I'm really just curious to see how Christian culture plays out in the next decade on social media, because I see more and more people coming up with these policies, which I think are really helpful individually. So not necessarily just adopting a general set of rules of like, rah, rah, we're all going to sit behind this, but like each person to thoughtfully say, this is where the Lord has me right now. And I'm going to adapt that. And I'm going to change that over time, because it seems like historically in Christianity, when something is kind of nebulous and uncomfortable and gray, we like to rally around a set of guidelines or just a set of beliefs and a set of benchmarks. And then we hold to that till we die. It doesn't age well. So I think our encouragement in this is not that you would like look at ours and
don't
say,
duplicate it.
Yeah, like, oh, because Risen Motherhood did that, like that's what I have to subscribe to, but that you would, as a creator, say, why am I here? Why am I here? What's my mission? And then how can I create a few ideas for myself on paper, not under the pressure, not under the heat of the fire, that help me walk in wisdom?
Yes. So here's the thing. In some of the past episodes, we've talked about, again, the addictive qualities of social media and this idea that it's really this newer research. And what I think is really interesting is that so many of us apply ourselves to learn about other topics that are somewhat addictive, food, exercise, right? We want to grow and get better at it. I want to learn how to lift without throwing out my back. I want to learn how, what do GMOs do to my body? And so I want to know what kind of nutrition I'm taking in. And we commit and apply so much of ourselves to saying, this is something I interact with every day and I want to be wise and use wisdom around it. But social media is so new and such a fresh thing for a lot of us. We haven't really sat down to do that. And just like new research comes out in exercise, new research comes out in food and nutrition, and we kind of grow along with that. The same thing has to happen with social media, is that this is something that we are interacting with every single day. It affects our lives. It changes how we operate, how our brains are wired. And so we need to take the time to say, I want to learn about this. I want to understand this. This is a big enough deal and has a big enough effect in my life that I want to set up some boundaries. We might think with food, well, okay, I'm avoiding sugar, or like, I'm only going to buy these kind of more nutritious things, or I want to eat the fruit or whatever. But we're not doing that yet with social media. We're not taking it as seriously as we do with other things. And in fact, I might say, and this is not scientifically proven, but like I might even feel like social media seems like it's a more important thing for us to really care about if we're engaging there consistently than our food and diet, because of the way it alters the way we think. Although
it's our brain's diet.
Yeah, I can hear some arguments to that. But the point being, what Emily's saying here is that this would behoove all of us to step away and take some time to develop, even if it's 4 points of just kind of, here's what I want to do when I'm on social. And we only share the policy with you because we want you to feel some inspiration. So all of that said, my friends, we hope that some of this just at least gets some thought process going.
Yep. And
gives you some stuff to chew on. Have some conversations with your friends. And I know where I wanted to go, is to remind you that you can do our workbook.
Yeah.
Wake Up, the workbook about social media. And that would be a good spot for you to take some of these things further and have these conversations with in real life people. Because while the principles apply, obviously the way they play out will be very, very different depending on how you interact on social. So thanks for joining us.
Hi, my name is Brittany, and I'm a part of the Risen Motherhood community because your book encouraged me to be a better woman and a better mom, and I'm just super thankful for your ministry.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.